Welcome to The Schmooze with Rabbi Mintz, rabbi at Congregation Beth Israel and co-director of Chabad of Forsyth, Dawson, and Lumpkin with his wife, Chaya. The Schmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life. More than a conversation, it's a meaningful schmooze. To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at jewishforsyth.org. Now, let's get schmoozing with Rabbi Mintz and his co-host, Tim House, on North Georgia's News Talk, WDUN.
Hey, good morning, folks. Glad you're joining us on The Schmooze. Rabbi, how are you this morning?
Thank God, doing great. Good to be with you, Tim. How are you?
Good to be with you, sir. It's a lot going on in the next 2 weeks, and we've got a holiday this week, so there's a whole lot to discuss.
Absolutely. There's so much going on. We got a great show for all of our listeners, and can't wait to jump into it.
Well, folks, we'd like to tell you a little about us right off the bat. We're motivated by profound love for every Jew and spurred by boundless optimism. Congregation Beth Israel is dedicated to building community every day through a dazzling array of programs and services to serve the spiritual and physical needs of all Jews from all walks of life with unconditional love and acceptance. Folks, we want you. We need you. Call us. We're easy to get a hold of. We'd love to talk to you. 470-253-7111. Anytime on the international web or whatever they call that silly thing. JewishForsyth.org. Rabbi, I know you got a lot to talk about because, as I said, there's a whole lot happening in the next two and a half weeks.
There's a lot going on, but let's just start. Before we jump into all the great stuff, we're about to begin the big Thanksgiving weekend.
Right.
And think of how amazing this is, that we live in a country where there's a weekend dedicated to giving thanks to God. This doesn't exist in any other country. And we're so lucky to live in the United States of America, to live in a country where on our money it says, in God we trust. And we have a part of the year where we give thanks to God Almighty for everything that we have. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you to all of our listeners. Thank you to you, Tim. Thank you to WDUN that we get to do this show every single week, which is such an amazing thing, you know, to have this opportunity that we get to connect Jewishly on a weekly basis is something that I'm so grateful and I'm honored to be able to do every single week, and I want to say thank you. And another big thanks that I want to give is really a thanks to the entire community of North Georgia. There never was a Jewish community in North Georgia. That meant if a Jewish individual, a Jewish family, a Jewish child moved to North Georgia and they wanted to engage in any way Jewishly, they couldn't do it locally. And over the last 4 years, we have come together and we've built something vibrant, a vibrant Jewish community where the full gamut of Jewish experiences is now available. And the thanks goes to all of us because all of us have been a part of this journey. There's not one person or two people or three people that can take the credit. We've all been a part of it. You know, this burning desire inside all of us that we want to have vibrant Jewish life, even here in North Georgia, in a place that it never historically had a Jewish community. And it's amazing how far we've come. And of course, we're going to talk soon about the groundbreaking, which is monumental and it's historic. For anyone that's lived here for more than 10 years, understands how powerful this moment is. And in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I want to say thank you. Thank you to all the men, women, and children that live in these great counties here in North Georgia, because it's a dream come true. It's happening, and we have each other, and we cannot take it for granted. So I thank God the fact that we have each other, such a beautiful, loving family community here in North Georgia.
It's a true blessing, Rabbi. I've lived up here for over 35 years in North Georgia and in Forsyth County. And, you know, you've seen all the other religions have their place of worship. And for us to have one finally, it's fantastic. No more driving to Atlanta, Roswell, and these outskirt areas. We can stay in our own backyard now and worship God in our way and be with our own folks.
It's an unbelievable thing. And I would like to remind all of our listeners that this Hanukkah, December 13th at 4 p.m., is the great groundbreaking event in Hanukkah Spectacular. If there's ever been a way to celebrate the miracle of Hanukkah, the miracle of Jewish continuity, it's going to be at this event. It's going to be a great event. Live music, entertainment, great food, drink, groundbreaking, lighting the 9-foot menorah, singing together. It's going to be an unbelievably inspired. Did I even mention Chanukah Gelt? Chanukah Gelt, that alone, to get Chanukah Gelt is a reason to go to ourvibrantfuture.com and RSVP. Don't just RSVP for yourself, RSVP for your spouse, for your children, for your family. Send the link to your friends. This is an event that only will happen once. December 13th, 4 p.m. Let your heart see it. Let your eye see it. Let your mind take it in, because this is going to be a truly inspirational event, a great way to bring in the Hanukkah season, the Hanukkah Spectacular. So please go to OurVibrantFuture.com, OurVibrantFuture.com, and RSVP for this great event.
Folks, we're looking forward to seeing you there. And hey, look, if nothing else, come for the gelt, the donuts, and the light cakes. I mean, it's just, you know, and then once you get there, you'll get inspired when the rabbi starts giving a little sermon and you meet some of the folks that are there. A lot of them, you probably didn't even know were Jewish or participate in the Jewish life that we have in Forsyth. So please come and join us. It would be a good event for a lot of people to shake hands, and as the politicians do, kiss
shake
babies.
Hands. We can't shake hands. We can't shake hands. COVID. Tim, no shaking hands.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm so
mask,
old. I keep forgetting.
6-foot distance.
Yeah, that's what
sanitizer.
Yeah.
We don't want anyone getting sick.
I know we walked into the studio this morning. We were talking about that, and I picked up a big bottle of sanitizer and told the rabbi he and I probably need to gargle with it this morning. But with that being said, you know, I'm old, so it's not the first thing I do when I put my pants on in the morning is put a mask on. I always forget that silly mask. But folks, in all reality, you know, come and join us. I mean, there will be some social distancing. We'll all be fine, and it'll be a great event for everybody, and I look forward to seeing everybody that listens to us on the radio.
Exactly. And a special announcement before, you know, I would love to share with all of our listeners a huge announcement from Congregation Beth Israel. Get a load of this. Imagine if you were able to send your teenager to the Holy Land of Israel.
Oh, wow, what a blessing.
This summer. And I want to tell you about a 22-day trip that's going to start in Poland and end in Israel, where your teen will be able to explore the heart-stirring sights of Jewish trial and triumph on a quest to discover the indestructible spirit and strength of our people. That's right, my friends. The trip will begin July 11th and end on August 1st. Now, here's the big deal. This trip is unbelievable, and what it's going to do for your teen is incredible. But right now, there is a donor who has contributed $3,000 for every teen.
Wow.
Off the bat, that wants to go on this trip. And the reason is because this donor understands that if we take a teen and send them on this 22-day trip, there is no question from that experience, going from the ashes of Poland to the great Holy Land of Israel, this child's life will be transformed forever. They will act differently. They will study differently. They will make life choices differently. And what a blessing we can give this kid, because one day this child won't be a child anymore. They'll be an adult. They'll have a home. They'll have a family. And they will bring generations to come into this world. So that means, with a $3,000 grant given automatically, the entire trip, 22-day trip, with food and board, is going to cost $895. My dear friends,
oh, wow.
This is an unbelievable opportunity, and I'm thrilled to be able to share with you this news on the air this morning. Now, you're wondering, it's COVID. Maybe the trip won't happen. To register, it's $1. That's all. That's your risk. It's $1 to get your foot in the game. 30 days before the trip starts, there will be an evaluation if the trip can happen or if it can't. If the trip can happen, then 30 days before the trip, that's when you will be able to register and pay the $895. If within those 30 days, the trip has to cancel because of COVID, you get all the money back.
Wow.
My dear friends, you heard it here first. Email me personally, rabbi@jewishforsyth.org, rabbi@jewishforsyth.org, because if there's anything I am more passionate about is this. I want your teen to go on this 22-day trip because I know it will transform your teen's life forever. Make this summer a transformational experience for your teenager. So again, email me, rabbi@jewishforsyth.org, so I can get in touch with you about giving your child this automatic $3,000 grant so that your child can go and have an experience of a lifetime.
Wow, Rabbi, that's truly a blessing and a great gift from the donor. Very much appreciated. I hope that the trip is full. I hope the plane is bursting at its seams. Folks, we've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with you.
Join Judah, the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. Judah offers Hebrew curriculum through experiential learning in a warm and inclusive setting. See holiday traditions brought to life through multi-sensory discovery. The passionate, energetic, and caring staff at Judah offer teaching that's innovative and fun. Find out more and become involved today at myjudah.org. That's myjudah.org. Judah, it's the Hebrew school that's totally awesome.
Now, it's time to Ask the Rabbi.
Hey, folks, glad you're rejoining us. We had to take that quick break. Rabbi, we've got an interesting topic this morning on the Ask the Rabbi. It's not really a question as much as it is kind of a discussion. And what came to us was, if you wait until you find the meaning of life, will there be enough life left to live the meaning fully? I can't even speak. Sorry.
It's very powerful. Very powerful statement. And I think it's a very relatable statement, right? How many people say, before I start living a meaningful life, I want to understand how it's meaningful. Right? Here's the problem. Understanding meaning in our lives is completely subjective. Everyone understands things differently. Everyone does. And everyone has a journey. And everyone has their own timetable of when they're able to appreciate the meaning in life. But like the statement just says, the individual who's completely subjective and looking at the world through their own eyes, through their own experiences, and through the talents and gifts and tools that God Almighty gave them, who knows how long it'll take for them to finally have that aha moment to live a meaningful life. And then a person is laying down on their deathbed. They're 70, 80, 120 years old, and they're looking at their life and what did this amass to? And who are they going to blame? Their brain? That they didn't properly come and appreciate and understand what happened? And that's a powerful statement. You know, you think about life. There are certain things that the Torah tells us that are things that we're able to do that bring meaning to a person's life. I'll give an example. Shabbat. The idea that there's a seventh day on the weekly calendar where it's time that we stop the business, we stop the work, we come together with family, we come together with friends, we use 25 hours to engage in elevated things. We pray, we study Torah, we spend time with our family, we spend time with our children. I gotta tell you, any person who does Thanksgiving weekly, how do we think their life is going to look? It's gonna look much more meaningful. Everyone agrees on Thanksgiving that it's a beautiful experience as long as no one speaks politics. It's a beautiful experience. The family comes together, we all have dinner, where we're giving thanks, we're giving gratitude, it's beautiful. Imagine doing that every single week, 52 times a year. Of course it's a meaningful life. I gotta tell you, I do it weekly, I can tell you firsthand. It's amazing. The sun sets Friday, and every single Friday it's always a different time. Sometimes the sun sets earlier, sometimes the sun sets later. But the sun sets, and I come home, and my kids are dressed in their finest. My wife is dressed in her finest. I'm dressed in my finest. The home is spotless. It's clean. The dining room is all set up. Beautiful tablecloth, flowers. There's a beautiful meal. Four courses. There's a fish course. There's a soup course. There's a meat or a chicken course. There's a dessert course. And just sitting around, nothing scheduled, but it's just talking, being together. And then there's, of course, songs that we sing that we give praise to God. We thank God for all of the blessings that we received in this past week, praying for the next week. So a person's going to come and say that I'm only going to have this experience in my life with my family, with my friends, with my community, until I properly understand all of the minutia of Shabbat, till I understand the 39 laws, until I study the Talmud, the code of Jewish law, understand all of the verses of Shabbat. Buddy, you can do that. But by the time you get through the entire Talmud and understand what the great have already understood for thousands of years, you're going to be at the end of your life and you'll never be able to go back. You'll never be able to go back. You know, imagine if you went on a plane and you wanted to interview the pilot. And until the pilot would be able to give you an understanding of how he's going to fly the plane, take off and land, you will not allow the plane to take off. You'll be sitting there for 5 years. I don't know, how many years does a pilot have to sit in school for? Yeah. What was worth? There has to be a moment where one is humble enough to say that there are certain things that have already been understood, right? giving charity, helping another individual, right? You go to a poor person and they need food. They need food. They're hungry. Imagine if a person would come along and say, you know what? I want to first understand the power of charity and understand what this means, how I've worked and I've gained money, and I'm going to take the money that I've worked and I'll give it to you, to a person that I've never met, but just that you should be able to have dinner so that you should live another day. Let me sit back, philosophize, understand the person's going to be dead. What was gained? So there's certain moments in life where meaning and living a meaningful life demands action. You know, this is such an interesting thing. Meaning in life demands action. We need to do things in order to have a meaningful life. We can't study about having a meaningful life because that won't help. Meaningful life only happens by doing meaningful things. I can sit in my room and study about Shabbat, study about charity, study about friendship, study about love, study about family life, study about unity in the family between a husband and a wife. I can study about all of these meaningful experiences and my life will be miserable. I got to get out of my room, close the book, and be there with my spouse, close the book and spend time with my children, close the book and give charity to those that are needy. Close the book and get out of my house and come to services on Shabbat and spend time with the community. I need to close the book and celebrate the holidays. Be there, be present, be active. That's the only way it happens. You know, Dennis Prager has a great statement. He says that a person has an obligation to be happy. Why? Because the last thing you need is miserable people walking around the world. So what should a person do if they haven't figured out yet how to be happy? They haven't yet gotten the ideas articulated in their mind why they should be happy. Is it okay to be happy? Understanding the philosophy of happiness. They're not there yet. So what does Dennis Prager say? Fake being happy. And he says it's an amazing thing. Try it. Try and fake smiling. You know, I'm not happy, but fake it. Make a big smile. Try it, Tim. Look at that. All of a sudden, you feel happy. It's a real thing. You just faked being happy and you feel the energy of happiness coming in. So a person's going to say, no, until I understand being happy, I'm not going to be happy. Live happy. Be happy. Act happy. Fake happy. And that will bring a sense of happiness in one's life. So with that being said, this is such a powerful statement. I think as a great homework for the weekend, for the week, take a piece of paper and think about all of the meaningful things that we think are in our life. And I'm sure it'll be family, God, community. I don't know, what else would be on the list of the things that are meaningful?
Maybe our job.
Our job, our
maybe
business.
Maybe our hobbies.
Our hobbies. Yeah, exactly. Make these lists of on our piece of paper and make the decision to start acting meaningful in all of these areas. Now, it doesn't mean to stop understanding how these things are meaningful, because the understanding will give that inspiration to do it with more gusto and more energy. But let's get the ball rolling, because we've only given 70 or 80 years in our life and we want these years to be meaningful. And the only way we can do that is by acting and doing meaningful things.
Well, I heard you say 70 or 80 years. I've got it in the plan that God's shown me and laid out for me that I'll have 120 years.
So. Amen. I'll tell you why, I say 70, 80, 120. Because the dream is to go to 120. Some of us only make it to 70 or 80. But Tim, you got a long way to go. You haven't even
I'm not even halfway there yet. Praise God. Hey folks, we'll be right back. Give us 1 minute.
Imagine if you were able to send your teenager to the Holy Land of Israel this summer. I want to tell you about a 22-day trip that's going to start in Poland and end in Israel, where your teen will be able to explore the heart-stirring sights of Jewish trial and triumph on a quest to discover the indestructible spirit and strength of our people. The trip will begin July 11th and end on August 1st. The entire trip, 22-day trip, with food and board, is going to cost $895. This is an unbelievable opportunity. To register, it's $1. That's all. That's your risk. Email me, rabbi@jewishforsight.org, so I can get in touch with you about giving your child an experience of a lifetime.
Hey, folks, glad you're rejoining us back. Rabbi, what have you got for us now?
So here's the question, Tim. Who should be given the gift of materialism? Or who should be more engaged, naturally, in materialism? Should it be someone who naturally is inclined towards physicality? Or should it be someone who's naturally inclined to spirituality? Let's use biblical figures. Who should have the blessing of physicality in their life? Esau or Jacob? Esau is the man of the field, is the hunter, is the one who's hungry for the next meal, someone who appreciates and understands this mundane physical world. Or should it be Jacob? Jacob, the individual who's the man of the tents, the man of the book, the disciplined individual, the example of being a spiritual man. And I want to come today and suggest that the best ambassador for materialism is not the person who naturally loves the physical world, but the best ambassador for materialism is someone who naturally loves spirituality. And here's the argument. The argument is that why do we engage in physical things? What's the reason why we ought to engage in physical things? Because there's two ways how to engage in physical things. One way is where it's self-serving. We engage in physical things in order to engage in our own personal pleasure, that we feel good, that the experience is ours. Another way to engage in physical things, in materialism, where it's coming to serve a higher power. It's not about us, but it's about a greater purpose. I want to have a beautiful home so that I can feed many people. I want to have a thriving business so that I can give charity. I want to have a beautiful car so that I can go to the synagogue back and forth and study elevated ideas. I want to have beautiful clothing so that when it comes Shabbat or it comes holidays, I can give the greatest honor and respect to God. So these are two different approaches how a person could engage in materialism. So who should be the ambassador? Who should be the ambassador of setting the tone in materialism? Yet what's interesting in the story of Jacob and Esau is what ended up happening. Isaac planned to give the blessing of materialism to Esau because that would make the most sense. But rather, through a cunning way, Rebekah convinced Jacob to put on the clothing of Esau so he would look like Esau. And then eventually, Jacob, the spiritualist, was the one who actually received the physical blessings from Isaac. You see, Isaac's perspective was that Esau should be the ambassador of physicality. He naturally loves it. Jacob, who's more inclined for spirituality, should be blessed with spiritual things. But Rebekah had great insight and great vision. Rebekah understood that for the long-term stability of materialism and physicality, that they stay in check, they stay in the balance, and that ultimately they fulfill the purpose why it was created in the first place, its ambassador should be the spiritual individual, the spiritual man. And therefore she wanted Jacob to put on the clothing of Esau and to receive the blessings for physicality. And in essence, Rebekah was teaching Jacob a lifelong lesson. You'll always have to wear the clothing of Esau. You'll always have to put on the garments and engage in the physical world. You'll have to go to work. You'll have to get a job. You'll have to do things that force you to wear the clothing, the garments of Esau. But always remember who's wearing the garments. Always remember who's inside. And that's Jacob, the spiritualist. You see, the reason why you engage in the garments of Esau, the reason why you engage in the physical world is because you know that you want to fulfill purpose and mission through this experience. You want to take this material world and use it as a vehicle to make this world a holier and a better place. And so we see from this biblical story how all of us ought to be like Jacob, wearing the garments of Esau, and really trick the world. You see, the world may look at us and see us as being an Esau, see us that we are naturally engaged in physical things. But the truth is behind the garment, behind the cloak, is a Jacob. So I make the argument that those who are naturally inclined to spirituality have the greatest obligation to engage in the physical world, because it is only through you that you will be able to take this physical world and ultimately bring it and elevate it, to bring it to a better place, a holier place, to fulfill the true mission of why it was created in the first place.
Rabbi, that's powerful. We could have a whole nother segment on that again. Great sermon. Look forward to seeing you this week. God bless. Folks, join us again next week.
And never forget, L'chaim to life. Always infuse life into life.
The Schmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life. More than a conversation, it's a meaningful schmooze. To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at theschmooze@jewishforsife.org.